Okay, we are in a new year. Can you believe it? Like, where did 2018 go? Seriously. Like, even this week, I'm thinking that we're already in our first week of 2019, and it's just flying. And you know, I found out something last year, probably started a little bit before that, but I found out something. I found out my eyes aren't what they once used to be. Is anybody with me there? Yeah. So here's what happened. I've started looking at my Bible. Well, not started, but I'm looking at my Bible, and the numbers, they're getting smaller. And it's the weirdest thing. They're shrinking. So I thought, I got to go get myself a new Bible, one with bigger numbers. So I went and got one, another Bible. I thought it had bigger numbers, and all of a sudden, the words start to shrink. It was wild. So what I did, like any good German did, I go to the dollar store. Because that's the best. And I got myself this. Now, I can't see you at all, but I can see the words, and it's fantastic. You know, it's hard when you begin to lose your vision or your ability to see properly. But it's even more difficult, folks, when we lose our vision for what's super important. Our vision for life, our vision for our future, our vision for the church. We no longer understand where we're going. Now, that's a problem. It's more than a problem than we have when we can't see the words on a page. And I want us to start the new year by looking at vision, looking at what is the vision of SPA Church? Where are we at? Where are we going? And what do we want to see here in 2019 in this church? Now, you've gone to the back of the church, and you've seen on the back, there is a statement. Now, some of you are looking at there and saying, man, I got to have glasses to read that. That's very small. Our vision as a church is to be a diverse church, connecting our neighbors with Jesus and empowering communities with purpose. To summarize that, to make that more simple, I brought it down to three simple words. Our vision as a church, where we want to be, where we want to go as a church, is we want to know, we want to grow, and we want to show Jesus in a diverse community. It's all about knowing Jesus. It's all about growing in Jesus, and it's all about showing Jesus in a diverse world. And I want to talk to you about that here this morning, but I'm going to pray, okay? Father, thank you that you are working things out for this year. I'm excited, God, where you're going to take us this year. I'm excited about the potential. I'm excited about the different things you're going to bring to us. I'm excited about the miracles. I'm excited about the possibilities, all the stuff that's going to happen this year. Looking forward to what you have for us. Thank you, Lord. And I pray now as we take some time to look into your word, would you just open up our hearts? Would you ignite a desire for more of you? Would you help us to truly understand what you have and to go forward in victory and expectation for what you have for 2019? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To start off with, our vision is all about knowing. And I want to jump from here to a verse found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. It says this. It says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming more like him in his death, and so somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead. Knowing starts with intimacy, to be intimate, to understand, truly understand the things of God. It's one thing for you to be acquainted with God. It's a total another thing for you to really know God. See, here's the thing. We can be acquainted with a lot of people, can't we? Right? You know a lot of different people. But see, there's probably a very few that you really know. People that you really understand who they are, the things they're going through. See, that's what the Lift is all about. I know my folks in our Lift community. I know their challenges, hallelujah, Jewel says. I know their challenges, I know their joys, I know what they're going through, and I love it. I know certain people here a little bit better because you've been in the principal's office. You've come down into my office, we sat down, we chatted, and we've talked about some of the challenges. I know, but there's a lot of people we don't know. God wants us to really to know him. Now, just for fun, because I thought, I wonder how much you actually know our staff. So I thought that to start 2019, for fun, I thought I'd show you our staff and to see, now these are staff and some of our leaders. And I want to see if you actually know who this staff member is. Okay, you ready for this? You gotta be watching, paying attention. Here's our first one. Anybody know who this is? Don't, the person that it is, don't say so. It is Teresa. Okay, very good, very good, very good. Well done. Here's the second one. Anybody know who this person is? It is not Michelle. It is Nicole. Okay, okay, okay. See the likeness there? Okay, number three. This one, a little bit difficult to see. No, it's not Pastor Les. It is Dave Hovis. He's one of our leaders, okay? Okay, next one. This one right here. Love that hair. Manveer, huh? No, sorry. It's Steve. Okay, okay, this one should be a really easy one. No, it's not Michelle. Yeah, it's Bonds. It's Bonds. Okay, here's one. Here's one. Who's this one? Pastor Wet. Does that look like me? No, it's not, actually. It's Pastor Les. All right, another leader. Okay, who's this one? That's me, huh? No, it's not. It's actually Herb. That was in Kenya. Isn't that great? Yeah, yeah. Anybody know who this person is? Well, it's the sexiest one in the church, let's just be honest. Yeah, that's me. That's me. That's me with my pet duck, actually. I actually had a pet duck when I was a kid, by the way. And here I am in George Grover's truck. Isn't that a beautiful truck? Knowing somebody is not just recognizing them, but truly knowing who they are. It's actually, if you look in Scripture, the word for knowing is the same word that was used in chapter 1, verse 25, where it says that he, Joseph, had no union with her, Mary, until she gave birth to a son. He knew her not, the King James said, until she brought forth her firstborn son. In other words, there's an intimacy there. And God wants us to have that type of intimacy with him this coming year. That's where we want to be, folks. That's where I want you to be, that you have that super intimate relationship with God, that you have a good, clear communication with him. Where are you at with that? When you look at 2018, did you have that deep, intimate communication and relationship with God? Or are there areas that needs to be bettered? Knowing means that we, first of all, we are intimate. Secondly, knowing him is invigorating. It says here in verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Invigorating means to be filled with life, to be energized. I want to be energized with the power of God in my life. It's interesting, the word for power, and you probably know this, in the Bible, the word for power is, anybody know? Dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. And God says, man, I want my relationship with you to be dynamite. I want it to be explosive, that the enemy looks at you and says, man, I'm not going near that person. I want it to be so strong that when you are faced with those challenges, that you know how to stand up. You know what to do. But see, that comes not because you can some way conjure that up in yourself, but it comes when you have an active relationship with the Father. It's the ability to stand up when people are driving you crazy and not saying something stupid. It's to be patient when your son or your daughter is taking forever in the washroom. You know what I'm talking about, right? For those that have teenage family. It's the ability, more importantly, it's the ability to know what to do when you're facing temptation and you feel like you're dragged into a place that you don't want to go. But see, again, folks, that comes not by you somehow working that up in you. That comes when the Holy Spirit begins to take residence in you. When the Holy Spirit begins to do a work in you. Let me tell you, folks, we need the Spirit of God in our lives. Come on, we need the Spirit of God in our lives. And the only way we get Him in our lives is we say, God, would you just fill me with your Spirit? Would you invigorate me with your power? Would you consume me with more of you? It's downloading the Spirit into our very soul. Romans 8 verse 11 says this, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, who is active in you, who is involved in you, I'm adding words here, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give what? He will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. I don't know about you, but I want that. I need that. And you know what? So do you. You need that for 2019. You need that for your future. You need more of the Holy Spirit in there just helping you along to know what to do in those circumstances where you're sitting there going, oh, God, help. He wants to give us the power invigorating us. Knowing God invigorates us. Knowing God identifies us with Him. And it says here, we want to know Christ and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Okay, now that's not a very inspiring verse. Are you following me? Okay, here we go. Woohoo! 2019. We're going to share in His suffering, and we're going to become more like Him in His death. Can I get an altar call right now for somebody that wants to share? Like, it's not something that we really like to go to. But see, here's the thing. It's the very things that we run away from that the very things that makes us stronger, right? So you know, if you're out there, we're talking about lift earlier. If you're out there exercising, that's not an easy thing to do. It takes energy. It takes pain to actually go through exercising and do that. And some people just, they just run away from it. Well, don't really run away from it. They kind of sludge away from exercise and sit on the couch, and the only exercising they're doing is the remote or their phone. But in order for us to be strengthened, sometimes, folks, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Let me tell you something. If you choose to make an allegiance with Christ, if you choose to say, I want Jesus in my life, guess what? The enemy don't like you. Not even a little bit. He looks at us and says, if you want to follow Christ, I am going to make it very hard for you to do so. And I'm going to do whatever I can to try to discourage you, and I'm going to do whatever I can to try to bring you down. But see, here's the thing. I'd rather tick off the enemy than tick off God. Anybody with me? I'd rather be on Christ's side, in Christ's camp, knowing I'm in the victory camp, than walking and sledging around life and then come to my end of my life and going, what did I do with it all? How did I spend it? Did I do something that was productive, or did I just waste it? There's too many people that are wasting lives. And Paul is saying, listen, if you want to be a strong, moving ahead individual, there's gonna be some hard times. That's one promise God has made in his word, in the Bible, that there's gonna be challenges. But let me tell you, they're so, so rewarding. He says, I wanna be like Christ. I wanna have fellowship with Him and to attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul's point is this: someday you're gonna pass on from this planet. Praise God. Someday we're going to move on. We're going to be graduated into a new life to be with Christ for all eternity. Someday we will be raised up to be with Him in eternity. And I can tell you this, folks, no matter how good it is here, it ain't going to compare a smidget to what we have there. God has got so many things planned for us that we can't even begin to fathom. And God is saying to us, listen, don't get focused on here and now. I love what the message says in Matthew chapter 6. It says, don't hoard up treasures down here when it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. We had that here at the church. Lock your doors. Don't keep your stuff, by the way, in your cars here at the church, because they don't care if you're at church or if you're at home. They're still going to break in and steal. Things get stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasures in heaven is what Jesus says, where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is a place that you will most want to be and end up being. So focus on the eternal. Yeah, there's going to be struggles. 2019 may mean some struggles for you. It probably will. Okay, you're probably going to go through some challenges. But it's okay. Don't lose sight. Don't lose sight of where you are going. So we need to, first of all, we need to know God, truly know God. And secondly, we need to be growing in our relationship with Him. How do we do that? How do we grow in our relationship with Christ? Well, I want to give you the ABCs of that from Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. And this is what it says. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. ABCs of growing. First of all, the A is let's abide. Let's abide, and that means to remain, to continue and stay and be steadfast in our relationship with Jesus. So how do you do that? How do we live a life worthy of the Lord? Well, I guess we gotta live a true life, don't we? Don't be a phony. Basically, the scriptures are what it's trying to say here. I don't know if you guys know of this individual here. This guy's name is Ron Hubbard. Anybody ever hear of Ron Hubbard? Some of you have. Ron Hubbard was the founder of the Scientology. Okay, this guy he's not around anymore, but a very interesting individual. So a couple of things that he said about himself. Okay, he said I am a nuclear physicist. He said he claimed to have been awarded 21 or 27, not sure, combat medals in World War II as a Navy lieutenant. These are just a few things. Okay, there's a lot more I can say. Hubbard, he said, he was returned home as the first American casualty of the war in the South Pacific. So this guy is a hero, according to himself. Don't you hate people that are heroes in their own eyes, right? Yeah. Let me give you the truth. He said he was a nuclear physicist. Ron Hubbard flunked both high school and college. He left after his sophomore year at George Washington University. He never even finished his school. There's no nuclear physicist there. Secondly, Hubbard never served a single day in combat and was never awarded any combat medals whatsoever. Okay, now his reputation is, in my eyes, it's kind of, it's slipping just a wee bit here. He says he was sent home as the first national hero. Yeah, he was sent home, apparently, because he was orderly and did quarrelsome. He was meddlesome, and the U.S. Navy said, we had enough of this guy, so they kicked him out. My point is, there's a lot of people out there that are phonies, right? There's a lot of people that are out there that pretend something that they're not. Now, this is a little bit of an extreme, but can I encourage you, don't be a phony in your relationship with Jesus. Are you following me? Don't live a life or say you are a certain thing and you're not, and you act differently. Live accordingly. Live in a way that honors God and live in a way that pleases Him, and that is not phony. So A is that we are to be to abide in Christ, to be real in Christ. Secondly, B is to bear. Now, bear isn't this. So I know of some people that look like that after before they had their morning coffee. I won't mention who that is. A bear isn't an animal. A bear isn't someone that is under a heavy load, though sometimes we feel like that. But to bear means to bear fruit, bearing fruit in whatever we do. Bearing fruit in every good work is what the scripture says. Can I remind you what that means? Can I remind you what kind of fruit there should be in your life? And I know you know this. I know you've memorized this verse here in Galatians chapter 5. But let me just remind you of this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, unconditional love, regardless of what the other person is doing. It is joy. I love what John Piper says about joy. He says, Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as He causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word, in the Bible, and in the world. That joy is welling up inside of you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Oh, God, give us patience.
Give me patience on the road, especially. Kindness and the way we treat others. It is goodness, willing to do good for others. It is faithfulness, faithfulness to God, faithfulness to the Bible, faithfulness to your family, to other things around you. It is gentleness and self-control. We could spend a week on this, Pastor Les. But I just want to ask you this. When you look at that list, does that describe you? Does that describe how you and I respond to people? Does that describe how we look at life in general? Or is there a lot of work that still has to be done? We need to be bearing fruit. It's interesting. There is a statistician named George Barna, who wrote a book called Revolution. And he said in this book that there are 77 million, get this, 77 million Americans that are church-going, solid Christ followers. 77 million. Now, I did a little bit of research to find out what percentage is that of the population. If that's true, that means 24% of the American population are super Christ followers. And I thought about it, and I'm not here to judge, okay? But I thought about it, and I thought, wow, you'd think things would be different in the States. Huh? You'd think things would be different in the way people treat each other. See, here's the thing. If there is a true follower of Christ, there needs to be fruit. There needs to be genuine fruit. The Bible says that genuine saving knowledge of Jesus leads to transformation. It leads to life-changing. It leads to sin-killing, Christ-exalting lifestyle. It's going to look different. You're going to look different as a follower of Jesus, right? You're going to look very different, and this is going to be evident in your life. Now, listen, we all got a ways to go. We all got to work on it. And can I just say that we have to understand that God has to be bringing out the fruit in us. And I'll talk about that in a second. But does this describe you? We need to, the A's, how are we doing when we look at our lives? Are we abiding in Christ? Are we bearing fruit? And are we cultivating that fruit so that we are growing in Him? Now, I lived on a farm. And I love gardening. My wife and I both enjoy gardening. And one thing we found out that is when you garden, there's a process, isn't there? You don't just plant the seeds and hope it grows. You do some watering, you do some cultivating, you do some working of that soil to make sure there's no weeds. You pull out the weeds and you deal with the plant so that it grows better. There's gotta be some cultivation in our lives as well. We need to be growing in our knowledge of God. And that's something that you have to be doing. That's something that you and I have to be working on. We have to look at the weeds, the stuff in our lives, those things that we need to get rid of and say, God, help me not to let that be a focus. Let me not let that grow up because it's going to kill my relationship with you. And we need to be making sure that we are taking time in this book, in the Word of God, reading it, taking time with Jesus and saying, what do you have to say to me today? Not just through this book, but on an ongoing basis, how can I be growing in my relationship with you? We need to be cultivating, folks, our relationship, spending time with Him every single day. How are you doing? How are you doing? Are you growing in Jesus? See, that's our vision. My vision is that you are growing stronger and stronger. If you look at your relationship today, is it better? Is it better than it was a week ago, a month, a year? Where do you want to be in the coming year? And we're going to talk more about that next week. So we need to be, first of all, in our lives, when we think about our relationship with God, we need to make sure that we are growing in Him. Lastly, we need to be showing our relationship to Jesus, showing our relationship in a diverse world. You know what I love about our church? I love the fact that you are very multicultural. I love the fact that we have many different nationalities that are represented here. And I'm going to talk more about that next week. But I think that is very, very special because I think that's what heaven is going to look like. You with me? We're going to be all sorts of different colors up there. Hallelujah. And we're gonna be working together and praising God together. And it starts right here. And I'm so glad that God has brought different cultures here. See, because it reflects our community, doesn't it? Our community is a diverse community. Our community has cultures from all over the place. And your responsibility is to show the love of Jesus to those people around you in your community. I really love, and you've heard this quote before from St. Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words. In other words, make sure that we are living up to who we are as Christians. It's one thing, it's one thing to be given a people a sermon, but it's totally another thing. And I mean, when I say a sermon, I mean, you can get out there and you can talk and say all sorts of stuff to people. But if our actions are so far from that, that's a problem. We need to be living in a way that honors Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, he says, by this all men will know you are my followers if you love one another. It's got to be love. It's got to start here, doesn't it? Look to the person beside you. Just look to them. They're very beautiful people. Regardless of who you are, who they are, tell them that I love you in the Lord. Come on, you can say that. And mean it. If you don't mean it, repent. And then say it again. I love you in the Lord. Okay. We got to be loving one another. And don't, but that doesn't mean we don't use words. We do need to use words. Let our lifestyle, everything we do, reflect a relationship with Jesus. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says this, to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel that I might share in his blessing. Now Paul wasn't a chameleon. He didn't act certain ways around certain people and different and all that stuff. No, Paul he wasn't a compromiser. Paul was an ambassador of Jesus, not a politician. Okay? But what he was willing to do was to say, whatever it takes for me to share the message of Jesus to this group of people, I'm gonna do it. See, here's the thing. I'm gonna share the message of Jesus to you here in a church very differently than I would share to someone that I meet at Cedar Gardens next week. I'm gonna talk very differently, and I'm thinking, Jules, you'll probably talk very differently to one of your patients about Jesus and whatever way you can show Christ to them than you would to your own husband. But see, here's the thing, God expects us in whatever situation we find ourselves in to be salt and light, showing Jesus to a diverse world. There's a lot of pain out there, folks. There's a lot of people that need to know the hope that you have. They need it. And 2019, I pray that we would really understand our responsibility before God. See, here's the important thing to remember. I cannot be in your workplace. I cannot be in your home, though I don't mind, especially if you serve me some good tea or something good to eat. I'll be there for sure. But I can't be in your home when you're going through some of those challenges. I can't be in your home when you're talking to your neighbor that doesn't know Jesus, or in your workplace. I can't always be there, nor can any other pastor, but the Spirit of God's there. And he's called you to make the impact in your world, to plant those seeds of truth into the lives of individuals, to do what you can to water those seeds, as the Bible says, to see them grow. That's your responsibility in 2019. It is so your responsibility. And if we can make that a focus, God, help me to be sensitive to your spirit. Lord, help me this year to really know who you are, to really grow in my relationship with Jesus, to really show Jesus to a diverse world. You know what I know for a fact? There's going to be an energy here. There's going to be an excitement here. There's going to be a new life here. There's going to be new desire here. You're going to come up here. By the way, we're going to hear some testimonies even next week. But you're going to come up here and say, you wouldn't believe what God has done in my life. And see, you know what? I think we should be seeing more of that. Can I encourage you, folks, this is where we want to go. This is where we want to be. This is our vision as a church. We've got the statement on the back walls. This is where we as a church are putting our sights to. We're going to talk about how we walk that out next week. But can I encourage you to make this a matter of prayer and say, God, show me how I can be more active, more engaged in knowing and growing in and showing Jesus in a diverse world. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray that you would stir a passion in our hearts for you, a desire for you. You would stir it up in us, God. We would so desire, put such a desire in us, Father, that we can't sit still without looking for opportunities of honoring you and of sharing the message of hope to those around us. So God, open up our eyes. Give us the vision for the potential that is around us, for those around us that need to know the hope and the joy that you want to give to us and to them. Oh Lord, I pray that we would be your servants, and we would serve others in the community around us, that we would serve you above all, loving you, honoring you, and as we are growing in our relationship, as we are getting to know you in deeper ways, Father, that showing you would just come so natural. So I pray blessing on your people here today. I pray strength, I pray guidance, I pray the infusing of your holy power, and God, that this week would be marked by opportunities to serve you as we get together this week to pray and to intercede on behalf of our families, our country, our government, our nation, Lord, and our world. I pray that we would be so enriched with your presence. Father, we love you. We commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand as we close in worship?